Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the I'm Not Kevin podcast with your host, Sean Holsworth.
تشرفوا على IPA today مع كيني وريتشي. مننتقد البيرة ومنضيع وقت. يا أخو الشليتي.
All right, here we go. We're ready. Okay. Hey, John.
Hey, what's going on, Kenny?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's happening?
All right, so Sean and I wanted to do a Menage a cast, which is a three-way podcast with IPA Today, I'm Not Kevin, and Mash Time.
Kenny's the middle.
Well, that's the ironic thing is we wanted to do this three-way all guy podcast, and the ironic thing is the two gay guys aren't here. So
what, Frank and Richie?
Yeah, Stu and Richie.
Oh, Stu and Richie.
Stu and Richie couldn't make it. So
is Frank just a creepy dude in the corner that watches?
Yeah, he's just gonna watch.
Oh,
yeah. He's gonna eat that.
He's the fluffer.
He's gonna eat the Eggo when it's all done. All right, so here we are. We're actually at John's house brewing. It's brew-day-ish at John's house. And that's what the background noise is, so we can pick up a little bit of the background noise.
It's not too bad, is it?
Not bad at all. I don't mind it, because to me, it's kind of a cool noise, you know, because we're actually making something.
Yeah, the pumps are running, so I'm going to check the hot liquor tank temperature real quick.
Okay, so while he's doing that, Sean, did you taste this?
I have. It's delicious. This is the barrel-aged.
Yeah, so yeah, I got a couple more degrees. This is the an Imperial Stout I brewed, and then I let it sit in a Balcones single malt barrel for only about 3 weeks.
That was a little barrel in your garage?
Yeah, that was a little barrel that you saw last.
How many gallons was that?
Five.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a little under 5 gallons in that batch.
So what was in that barrel originally?
Balcones single malt.
And that's
a single malt, like a scotch.
Scotch.
It's not really bourbon-y. It's not like it's a little more delicate because the oak, the way they toast it is a little different. It's not a heavy toast.
And now that you've used it, what are you doing with it?
I'm probably going to make a strong Scottish ale with it and put it in the barrel, let it sit for a little longer.
So you use that a few more times?
But yeah, I'll probably use it maybe two more times. I think that should be by then. Let's see. I maybe barrel ferment something or start maybe a sour project with it.
This is really good.
This is wonderful. It's got a great smell. What's the it tastes strong. How strong is it?
It's only about 8.5%.
Oh, beautiful.
8.5%, 9%.
Beautiful. So talking.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, it's literally just barely 10:30 in the morning, and we're starting out with the barrel age. And I've got your Kentucky Common next to me, ready to go.
The carbonated version.
So was that at the Country Craft Beer Festival? You served that, and you didn't think it was carbonated very well.
Yeah, so I was working I was out in the field for a while, and I wasn't able to carbonate it when I wanted to. So when I got back home on Friday, I just quickly kind of carbonated. I usually rock it at about 40 psi for 5 minutes, and that usually gets it pretty close. And so one of the kegs was really carbed. The other one is the one I took to Country and Craft, was a little undercarbed. It wasn't flat. It was just lightly carbonated. I mean, it was still a good beer, but
yeah, it was great.
It wasn't the carbonation level it should have been, so.
So one of the common complaints from all the homebrewers was that the ride over shook up everybody's kegs?
Yeah, and that just happens, right? That's why you want to get there early. You want to get there early and get your beer on ice as quick as possible to help bring that temperature down. And to help drop that stuff back in.
And that's the suspended sediments that are floating.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, we don't filter any of our stuff as homebrewers. I don't know anyone here that does. So I crashed the Kentucky Common, and it's pretty clear, but it whatever little bit was left was shook up. That's been in the keg that's been in my kegerator for, well, since Country and Craft.
So it's the same batch. Same batch, two different kegs.
So, Sean, this one, you can, when you hold it in the sunlight, I can see my truck on the street, but when I aim it towards you, I can barely see you flipping me off there. So it's a beautiful color. I mean, that's that's a dark, dark amber, right?
It almost has a red to it, but it's
that's a beautiful, beautiful color.
It's a cool beer. I kind of like it. It's one like, I guess one a lot of people asked about it, and it's one of the few asked what a Kentucky Common was, and it's one of the few American indigenous beers, right? They use a lot of it was six row, which is typically a distiller's malt. They don't really use six row for brewing much.
No, because everybody uses two row, right?
Yeah, two row is far, far and away the more popular choice. And
so, can you explain why that is?
I think the amount of proteins that are in are higher. They're higher in the six row, and I think the yield's a little lower in a six row. It's not 100%.
Is six row more expensive?
No. I think it's maybe slightly cheaper. They're pretty close. I mean, you know, homebrew shops are going to sell it for about the same price.
Okay.
So you can make some whiskey with it too?
Yeah. I believe a lot of distillers actually use six row. They may be using two row now, but six
look
row.
Look at you, Sean. Okay, that's pretty good shit.
Distillers.
But they use so for
I
this one they use
something in Jack Daniels.
So I guess let's back up a little bit. So the reason Sean's here was twofold, right? One, we.
Threefold. I'm a hell of a guy.
Yeah, you're a hell of a guy. Well, and I'm doing sign language every day. I'm actually holding up two fingers.
He's holding up one finger on each hand.
Sean's been flipping me out, so now I'm like, two. So we wanted to do a three-way podcast because we do enjoy individual podcasts talking shit about each other. But Sean has been dabbling in the home brewing yourself. And one thing about John is he's a great instructor, right? I mean, he can... I mean, if you've got a few hours to spare, just ask him a question about brewing, and you're locked in. So
yeah, it was really cool for him to invite us over, and I didn't get here during the hardest work part of the job, but he's got a pretty nice setup here. I'm pretty jealous.
So this setup is set up like would be at I guess an actual microbrewery. He's got so I'm looking at three tanks. The one on the right would be your hot liquor tank, John?
Yes.
So that's literally to heat up water. And then the one in the middle is your mash tun.
Mm-hmm.
So you put your grain in there. And then you got that the up to temperature. And then you force that hot water in there so that you have your sparge flows into your furthest tank on the left, which would be your wort, once it's in there.
Boil kettle, yep.
Your boil kettle.
So that's what he's getting ready to do, right? He's getting ready to transfer to the boil kettle and then start firing it up.
So there's the pump that just kicked on. So he's got two pumps down below and an actual plate heat exchanger as well that he'll run a guard hose through there and get that cold water going to start doing the rapid cooling. And a pretty badass little control panel on the left. He's setting up temperatures and...
It
makes it look easy. It makes it look easy, but what's really impressive that he did all this himself.
Yeah, he said he built the whole control panel himself.
But did he tell you that he's colorblind and that he had to have his wife tell him the color of the wires?
That's awesome.
Isn't that...
Yeah, she didn't screw with you and tell you the wrong one just to see sparks?
No, she actually likes me, so she didn't want to kill me.
Well, now, you know, that explains a lot of why he dresses the way he does.
Yeah. Well, what's your excuse?
It's not your excuse. It's funny when I said it to you. That's so funny when you do it to me.
You could have muted that mic, maybe.
Yeah.
You said I've been dabbing a little bit. I'm not doing the all grain yet. I'm messing around with the extract brewing. And he has a lot more equipment than I do, but I still seem like a bigger mess than he's got going here. I usually have shit laying all over the place in the garage and taking stuff around. So, got a ways to go.
So... The extract is when you get done with your grain, your mash tun portion, at that point, we would basically freeze dry that into a powder.
Either dry it or it'll turn into like a syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you basically bypass that whole step and you just go right to the boil.
Yeah. It's a lot more convenient for people who don't have a lot of time. Or beginner brewers. And I know a lot of guys are like jumping right into all grain now, but... I mean, I like the extract because it helped me get my cleaning down. I learned the cleaning side, and I learned some of the processes. in terms of like mashing, you know, because you still use specialty grains. You just soak them in. It's a small bag, right? You soak
them. Steep them.
Yeah, you steep them in the water, and then you add in everything, and you add in your extract, and you go to town. So.
Well, one of the first times I went over to Uncle Frank's house and watched him brew, he did both. He when he got done with his mash tun, his sparge was over in the wort the boil, and then he actually added a bag of extract in there as well. So is that cheating, or is that just not know what the hell he's doing?
It's cheating. It's just a different, you know, it's there's been times when I haven't gotten the extract efficiency that I was expecting, so I'll take some dried malt extract and add it to there to bump it up to where I need it to be. Yeah, because your bitterness is kind of based off of the sugar, right? And
yeah.
If that's out of whack, it's going to be way bitter than it should be. So there's a bitterness to gravity ratio. And you want to try to keep that where you have the recipe designed, because if it's off, then your beer's not going to taste. It may not taste the style or, you know, it may not taste like. So I'm brewing a Kolsch, right? And if it was overly sweet, it's not gonna taste like a Kolsch.
It's a yes or no question.
The podcast would be a lot shorter, though.
Was Frank cheating? And that was. I'm looking at the time on the thing. I'm like, holy shit, that was no answer. Sure,
you've known me long enough, you know any question isn't going to be a quick answer.
So we have this little thing between me and John. I say he talks a lot, and he says I'm a dumbass. So we got this little thing going on.
You're a dumbass that talks a lot, too. I think he's just, he doesn't want anyone taking his light. That's just the limelight.
No, the problem is a lot of times, you're too smart for my comprehension. So sometimes your answers, I need to get them dummy down a little bit. And I know if I don't cut you off, it's just going to be a long podcast. And everybody else listening going to go, Kenny, what the fuck are you doing? Shut him up. Shut him up.
Yeah. Can you imagine if I was like a professor in their lectures? Jesus.
So you
it'd be like 5 hours long.
I think if you had a curriculum you went by and you were teaching a brew class, I think it would be good if you stuck to the curriculum. So now now we have a sparge, right? We're transferring from
So we're transferring the water from our hot liquor tank over to our mash,
which is pushing it
on top. So the water's laying on top, and as we're draining out the wort to the boil kettle, the sparge water is laying on top to help rinse the grains.
So that almost doubles the capacity, right? Let's say how many gallons fits in your.
That's a 15-gallon kettle or mash tun.
Mash done. So when you take the hot liquor water and force it in there, does that go to 30 now, or does it go to 20? I mean,
well, you're not so concerned with your mash tun volume for this step. It's just mostly your grain, your boil kettle is going to dictate.
Okay, you didn't have 15 gallons of water in there with
all that. No.
Okay,
I only had about 7.
But you're going to stop the transfer once you get your.
Once I get to my ideal.
So you had 7. You had 7 gallons of water in there, but by the time you finish flushing through there, it'll be 15.
I'm going to go for my pre-boil volume will be about 15 gallons.
Got it.
Because it's a 90-minute boil for this one.
I'm catching on, Sean.
How much do you think you're going to boil off?
I'll probably
wind up. That was a great question.
I'll yield about 12 into the fermenter.
Off 15.
Yeah, off of 15. Roughly. I mean, I could probably go a little lower. A little like 14 and a half or so. I can boil hard. And get maybe a gallon and a half an hour.
So now we're getting to that part where the smell is amazing. You're starting to see some of the vapors coming off, and it's starting to fill the garage up with, like I always say, that to me this is a better smell than the turkey on Thanksgiving morning. This is just amazing.
Yep, it's nice. It's nice to, even if you can go into our local breweries and
love it.
Tell when they're brewing, and just sit there and enjoy beer, and the smell just kind of takes over.
Yep. And you know what I always say, I don't want to say anything negative about Timbler, because I do like those guys and I like their beer. But the one complaint, if I have any complaints, and I've told Lottie this, is the fact that they do all this brewing early in the morning to keep the heat and the steam away from the customers. But to me, they're missing out on that smell, because when you walk in now, Lengthwise did that as well. They put up that big glass wall. So you don't get the smell, but there are sometimes when you walk in, you smell it on the outside. Mm-hmm. But if you go to Tyson's, you know, you smell it right away or those other shops. But I think a lot of people that really, truly enjoy craft beer, they want that smell. That's for me.
Yeah, you want to see the process, right? And it's the downside is on that kind of scale, it's it's almost a liability to kind of have those situations where you're brewing because you're dealing with boiling liquids real close to customers. Like Tyson can do it because the way his is set up, it's around the corner, which is really cool. With like Tembler set up, you know, you're right there. So if there's a boil over, you know, that's
a great point because that's where everybody lines up to place their orders.
Well, that's why they always, whenever they're doing anything related to that boil kettle, they always have the little like the VIP ropes.
And that video that we shot back with Tyson, you can see his, it was boiling over. Mm-hmm. It literally was boiling over. So that's a great point, John.
Like you're talking, 200 degrees.
Yeah. Or, you know, even when you're cleaning, you know, it's still 160 degrees water that they're typically using, right? And that's, you can still get burned off of it. So it does kind of suck. But, like, if you're doing a double, if they're doing a double brew day over there at Tembler, you can usually in the afternoon, by, like, lunchtime, afternoon. It's not late. They just don't brew late at night, right? So, at, you know, 5 o'clock, they're already done. We were usually cleaning by 5 o'clock. I was usually cleaning at 5 o'clock at night.
Well, he said he gets there 4 in the morning and starts at 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's already halfway through the brew day, basically, when I would get there, like, at 8.
So there's your business opportunity, Kenny. Create that smell and be able to distribute it so that they don't have to actually brew it.
Oh, no, bottle it like an aftershave.
Yeah. Yeah. Air, or car air freshener.
That's, I'm tired of smelling like chicken. So.
Chicken.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
That's the first thing that popped in your head. Chicken.
I guess when you choke the chicken so much, it starts smelling like it. I don't know. So, hey, so let's talk about...
Big joke one.
Yeah. First, yep.
Yeah, are we going to keep a running count?
We're 15 minutes in. I'm slacking. So you are doing a yeast starter?
I am. My first yeast starter.
Yeah, I saw that.
Homemade stir plate out of a Western Digital hard drive case, external hard drive case, and... just screw around. I was on vacation this week, so I had time to screw around with stuff.
Vacation. That must be nice.
It was pretty nice.
Yeah.
To do, it was like a staycation. We didn't really do anything.
Those are the best.
Yeah, that's, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay home.
Yep.
So I'm getting ready to do a Citra Pale Ale extract kit, and I thought I would do a starter, because the next kit I'm going to do, a friend of mine is kind of getting interested in it. He's come over for a couple of brew days at my house, and he's kind of getting into it. And so I said, well, pick something you want to do. I've been picking the beers.
Who's this?
His name is Evan.
Evan? Don't know.
You haven't met him. You will.
Oh, I will. We're going to become best friends.
I tried to get him to come over at the Prince Pleasure Craft Brew Fest, but he was busy.
He had a birthday party to go to, like, Frank.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we didn't. Who's not here today? Joey?
Buck Joey.
Yep, Frank?
Buck Frank.
Richie?
Buck Richie.
Stu?
Buck Stu.
Okay. Is that it? Are we missing anyone?
There's a new fuck. Who was it?
Like I said before, we're all scared.
I mean, Robert and Troy.
We're all scared to say it to Tracy. Yeah, fuck Troy.
Yeah, Frank said it, but we'll see what happens at the Humber meeting.
He won't say it's over.
Oh, no, he won't. I think Frank wants to live.
He wants to do a Belgian double.
Yep, I just did one.
Did you?
Yeah, I just did one with Sean Vansickle. You met Sean at the Country and Craft Beer Festival.
And I met him over here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was here last week, or last brew day.
When I was here.
Yeah, when we were doing the double.
Yeah.
I try to forget the times we spend together.
That was, you guys were collaborating, right? I mean, some of the stuff was his, and you put in that the syrup stuff at the end.
Yeah, the D180 candy syrup.
Can you explain to Sean what that is?
Please explain to Sean what that is.
Because I know
it's,
all about it.
So it's kind of like an extract, right? It's just basically sugar. Mm-hmm. It's beet sugar and I think just some cane sugar mixed together. And when they reduce it down, it caramelizes. And so there's a company here, I think they're in the States, that they'll make different ones depending on, I guess, the heat and how much they caramelize it.
Okay.
So I use D180. We use D180 on this one, but you can get like clear, golden, and then like the dark.
So just whatever you want to contribute to.
Yeah, just whatever. So, and that was a way that the Belgian brewers would use to bump up the ABV on their beers without having to.
So just adding sugar.
Yeah, it's just like if you're doing like a double IPA, you may, like a Pliny clone, you may use some dextrose to add it bumps up the original gravity, and it'll also help thin out the body.
Okay.
You said a Pliny clone?
Yeah, like Pliny the Elder.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You can get those.
How good is that beer?
I absolutely love it.
It still has a cult status, and there's lots of really good beers other than that, but that's it's, you still have to drink it because it's very, very good.
Oh, you got a little dribble.
Yeah. Good thing I'm here.
Save the day.
Yep.
Kenny knows about dribbles.
I don't have a response to that. I'm like, yeah, he's right. I saw so he had a valve was open and it was kind of just dribbling out of the boil tank, and it kind of reminded me like when I'm at the urinals, you know, I'm always sneaking that peek over there. So
sneaking that peek.
Dick joke number two. That's the first time I realized what an anteater is. You know, when you ask a perfect stranger, whoa, what is that?
Stand back, let me do that. I gotta check this out.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing.
So, you mentioned cleaning earlier. I'm guessing that was like star sand?
Yeah, that was just some star sand to help.
Handy to have around.
Yeah, I always have some. I mean, just to help clean off the sugar so it's not super sticky.
What's the ABV on this Kentucky Common?
5.2.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that one turned out pretty good. I think I'll brew it again, and I'll probably change up the yeast again to see what character. Like, I'll probably use an English ale again. This one was a dry English ale yeast from White Labs, so it came out pretty good. But I'd probably just trying to nail down, see what kind of yeast that I like that gives the right.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because one of the things that I've learned from you is, and Tyson as well, the local craft beer at Tehachapi, both have told me over and over that the yeast makes the flavor. And you said you and Tracy did the same identical recipe, but with different yeast, and you came up with two different beers.
Mm-hmm.
So does a Kentucky Common, by tradition, have to have a specific yeast?
Well, when they were brewing the Kentucky Common pre-prohibition, there was never like any, they didn't say, okay, we use English ale yeast. They just said like a fast fermenting ale yeast.
Hmm.
So just reading the documents and the
one sort of the standard.
Yeah, there wasn't, you know, it's not like modern day home brewing, right? There, or brewing in general. So the documents that I found and all the research I've done on the Kentucky Common was just that's all they had, right? It was a fast fermenting ale yeast. And so with that in mind, I tried to think about what yeasts were available that kind of fit that criteria. Because it only sit in the fermenter for about, I think they said 4 days. For about four or five days in the fermenter, they transfer it to a barrel, and then they bung the barrel and let it carbonate, finish.
Oh, wow.
In there. So it was a really, really quick turnaround beer.
Because it's sneaky, right? You had to hurry up before you get busted. Is that why? Because pre-prohibition. Oh, shit. I'm going to edit that part out. I really did sound dumb then.
All these great questions.
Yeah. No, it was just kind of the style, right? So it was.
How long did it ferment for you?
I let it go for like a week and a half, just to make sure it fermented out all the way. I mean, I wasn't in a rush. I probably could have let it go, because the dry English ale, it does, it ferments hard and fast.
Yeah.
It's like really, I had to have a blow off valve on it, or a blow off tube.
Aren't you proud of me that I'm letting all that go and I'm not saying anything?
Yeah.
Hard and fast, blow off, all that. I just let that go. I'm being professional here.
I know.
There's
something wrong with the podcast now.
I'm literally breaking out in a sweat. I'm like, oh, So, Sean, what do you got coming up on I'm Not Kevin? What's going on? Since this is a menage cast.
I don't know the answer to that question.
And that's how you roll, right?
That is how I roll. Just whenever the kind of the mood strikes or the right people show up or...
Like, fuck it, let's bust out the microphones and let's get going.
Yeah, it usually starts with some drinking, and then next thing you know, the microphones are out and we're talking shit.
So
it just gets set up to do phone calls through the mixer.
So yeah, that's one of the things we're talking about, because I got to say, probably my favorite Mash Time episode that I wasn't on was... was when Justin called in.
Yeah, that was great.
And that was freaking awesome, man. And you know what? It came in pretty clear. It was obvious he was on the phone, but still, you could definitely hear what he was saying, and you could really enjoy what he was saying.
Oh, for sure. That guy's... It was like, when you guys called him, he was like, I know you only have a couple minutes, and then it was, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes later.
Yeah, he thought I talked a lot.
Yeah, he's right there with you. But he did say that whatever he had scheduled fell through, so he had time.
Yeah.
And that was just, you know, man, this just speaks to his, he's a class act, you know I mean?
Couple. Which you really find with all the home brewers, I think. I mean, I haven't talked, I mean, just kind of being new into the game, and just kind of getting to know people, everybody is super cool. Going to the home brewer meeting at Timbler, everybody just wanted to shoot the shit about beer.
And yeah, except Frank. Fuck Frank.
Except for Frank. But Justin's got a lot of stuff going on right now, and what he was explaining, and he's kind of a, you know, he's a busy dude with a lot of goals that he's heading towards, and to take a half hour, 45 minutes out to call into a piece of shit podcast, and I don't mean mashed up, I mean anybody here, you know, just a couple guys sit up in the garage bullshitting, and for him to call in, I think that's just a class act.
Yeah, and talk about, I mean, really what he's got going on, and the kind of industry.
No offense, Kenny, none taken.
Yeah, I didn't mean it as mashed up as a piece of shit podcast. I meant it didn't come out bad, did it?
Yeah, I hope you don't want any more beer.
Yeah.
You are getting electricity from me. Yeah. You're on this podcast.
I'm
gonna unplug you.
I'm sorry. It's like when your prom date says you have a little dick, and she's like, "But I mean, not like little, like just perfect. Like it's bigger than your brother's."
What? Is that four? Is that four?
I think we're on four now.
All right, I'm caught up. I'm caught up. So
what, do you bring a chalkboard or something?
Yeah. Little hash marks, dick hash marks.
Dick magnets.
So what have you done recently on I'm Not Kevin? Who have you had on? And just double check for my listeners how they can get to you. Because I can tell you right now, if you search on your iTunes, if you hit the little podcast app on your iPhone and you type in IPA space today, Mash Time and I'm Not Kevin pops right up with IPA Today. So that's
Stu was very smart about that. He just like tags you and all of them. So if we come up,
smart.
Get off my coattails, dude.
You can't copy us, though, Dick. Don't bite our style.
A few weeks ago, we had a Kevin on.
Oh, that's right. I was listening to that one. Is that the most current one?
Yeah, that's the most recent
one. 14?
Yeah, that's the one where you called in.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
That was great.
Did you tell me? I think we texted afterward. I told him, thanks for calling in. He said, yeah, I figured it was. He goes, he listened. And he said, it was starting to lull anyway. It was starting to suck till I called in. You're right.
I'm kind of fooling myself, aren't I? Well, I knew that Kevin was over there and I just dig that dude, man.
He's a great guy.
Your other friend was other Big Rob. I can't wait to meet him. He seems cool. No, but
he's a shit talker for sure.
I just love you know, seeing Kevin at work and talking to him, and he's just he dishes it out and he takes it. He's a good sport. Like so he is literally like, I don't know, does he break 5 foot?
Yeah, I think he does.
But he's pretty short, right? I mean, he makes Frank look kind of big. So
that's not hard. I think we have friends that have 13-year-old girls that make Frank look big. They're like daughters, you know.
So for those of you that have never met me, so I have some paralysis issues on my right leg. So I walk like I'm Fred Sanford, you know.
Yeah, you got a little gangster.
One of my favorite jokes. What's your height, Kenny?
I go from 6'2" to 5'9" with every step. So we're all out there at work, congregating around a work truck, and Kevin comes walking up, and I said, "Hey, you know why Kevin giggles when he runs? The grass tickles his balls." And he goes, "At least I can run." I'm like, oh, shit. So
I like this Kevin. I gotta beat him.
Yeah. So he can take it and he dishes it right back. So
yeah,
he
definitely doesn't take it personal.
No, he's a great sport, man. So yeah, and you know what? We were Frank met up with that guy brewery over. I wish John was here. It's a brewery over in Grover Beach.
Okay.
A single barrel, and the guy was, you know. Frank told him about the podcast. He's like, "Love to have you guys over."
Cool.
I emailed the guy. The guy's like, "Yeah, man, come over." But it's a planning thing to get over to Grover Beach, you know. But Kevin right away was like, "I'll drive and I won't drink. I just, you know, I'll hang out with you guys. I'll be on the podcast and I'll be your designated driver." So that's kind of guy he is.
Yeah,
you know?
Man, he's genuine guy.
Yep.
So we had those two guys and lost my brother Jeff.
Is he the one that was at the craft beer festival?
Jeff was there.
John, do you know the brewery over in Grover Beach? The single barrel?
No.
No?
Okay. Was that the one? Did you?
No, that was Earth and Fire were the ones that sat in on the podcast. They were pretty cool, and their beers were good.
They're over in Paso.
Yeah.
Paso. Those guys were cool, man.
Paso Robles?
Those are real brewers that have a full-time job during the week, and they bust it out on the weekends.
Yep. And they're making it happen. Their beer was good.
Open, right?
Yeah, they're pretty... No, I think he said they've been around for a while, but they've kind of flown under the radar.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're only brewing on like a three barrel system, not much bigger than the size of Dionysus. Mm-hmm. So they, I mean, you can see like Dial basically sells all their beer right out of their tap room, right? Very rarely do you see a keg kind of go, you know, or any type of outside distribution other than their bottles. Right. And even then, it's like where Imbibe maybe, or they typically just sell them straight out of their tap room as well. So they're probably having a hard time just keeping up.
Yeah, and for those of you that think Dionysus is strictly sours, they've got an IPA there called Dank Street that I just love. It's great. Absolutely great. So where are we at now, John? What do we got?
We're still sparging. We got about 6 gallons in 20 minutes. So
that's why Richie's not here. He's still sparging too.
Is that sparging or purging?
Both. Well, he's sparging out of one end and he's purging out of the other.
Ouch.
Poor guy, he got a hold of a little virus. We shared some beers Thursday night, and then Friday he's like, oh, by the way, I've got a virus. I'm like, oh, fuck. Maybe so I got my laptop from him, and I rubbed it all down with Lysol.
Yeah, I told you to spray that down before you came over here.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got the Valley Fever.
I don't know. It's one of those things where he's like, hey, my wife's sick. And we're like, great, now we all got it.
Yeah, that took a second.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So when do you have your next podcast coming out?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, because you already established.
I don't record and then sit on them. I just when I get done, they go to
yeah, kind of like what we do at Mash Time. Yeah. Like it'll be out the next like Monday.
Unless I'm recording one in the near future, then it's.
So we always have a couple on deck. Mm-hmm. So right now we've got
that's because IPA today is timeless.
That's right. Well, the thing is, we never know with our schedule, especially Richie's, when we're going to be able to podcast again. So it's nice to have a couple that we can still shoot out weekly and not interrupt our schedule. So that's pretty cool. I guess, you know, the big thing for us right now is our website. Paid this guy to build this website off Fiverr. You know, mm-hmm. So he built the website, and I just got a message from him. He said, hey, man, your year's up, so it's time for you to stand on your own. Like, what are you talking about? You know, he's like, well, your GoDaddy account, that's not, you know, I'm not paying for that shit forever. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I set up my own GoDaddy account, and I migrated everything over to the new account. So now I'm like, hey, man, I need you to push over my domain name. Crickets. I can't. Another guy won't reply. I'm like, hey, man, he told me I had 3 days to get off his freaking credit card.
Uh-huh.
So I set up my own account. Now the guy's like,
disappeared.
Yeah. I'm like, shit.
We'll put it back on his account, and let's see how quickly he responds to it.
I don't have that ability when it comes. I have the ability to set up my own account. So yeah. I don't know, man. I
have nice garden utensils. You can go pay him a visit.
Well, yeah, but the problem is, I believe it's a long flight to Pakistan. So.
Oh.
That's why Richie always says it was going to be, it's IPAToday.net, and it was going to be IPAToday.PAK. Yep. All right, so tell you what, right now, you got your buddy on his way over?
Yeah, my buddy Tyler's on his way over.
All right, so let's pause it
a little bit.
Let's pause it.
And break time.
Yeah, let's pause it. Sean's got to take a shit, and then we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Sorry that took so long, everybody.
It's like, they probably left.
Yeah, Sean just had a hell of a shit. So.
Yeah. He had to dig a really deep hole.
Yeah. And your dogs are back now. They're all sniffing around the backyard where Sean was at.
Like, who the fuck shat in my backyard?
Shat. Dogs don't say shat, you dumbass.
What do they say?
Poop.
Just like that.
That was an extended record. There's way too many dick jokes in there.
Yeah, we actually got a lot of. We should have saved them. But we got joined by with Tyler. Tyler, thanks for joining. So
good to be your guest.
Yeah, he just nodded at me. Like, there's no camera here.
A face made for radio.
We'll translate. Fine. So I forgot to ask John. So what exactly are we brewing and where are we at right now? Because I see you've done a lot of staging, getting ready.
Yeah. So I'm brewing a Kolsch today.
You got to look at the mic, though.
Sorry. I turned away. I had to keep an eye on it. I'm doing a Kolsch today, so I'm changing the malt bill.
Between you and Tyler, this is going to be a great podcast.
Oh, I know.
One's just doing face language, and you're just turning your head.
I'm turning around.
Yep.
Sean's like, Jesus Christ, one of these days you'll work. Sean, one of these days you'll work with some professionals.
Tyler's like, your friend's a dick.
Fuck you guys, I'm going home.
Take this beer.
Just leave your beer.
Yeah.
Leave the beer. No, I'm brewing a Kolsch today, and so it's a style that I brew pretty often. I'd like to have it. I'd like to try to have it on tap pretty much all year round. This time around, I've changed the malt bill a little bit to try to see trying a different malt to see what it does to the beer.
So when people say malt bill, bill B I L,
bill B I L L,
bill. So not
like
bill,
a bill
though.
Of lading or,
yeah. So when you say that, does that mean which row you're using, like maybe a combination of a 6 and a 2? Are you talking about just 2 or just 6?
It's just your grain recipe, basically the what
like
your
cut list.
Yeah.
Because last time I was here, you had 3 different ones you had, and you let me taste each one. And so is that what you're talking about? You combine different mm-hmm. grains with
– Yeah. So that's your grain bill. Just you're basically what grains you're using for the beer.
And is that the point where you can get individualized or – crafty with your flavors?
Yeah. Okay. That has a lot to, everything, right? The hops, all the ingredients will do have an impact on the end flavor. And yeast as well, obviously yeast plays a big part. Water does too, but like Tracy and I can brew the exact same beer here at our house, at my house, and it would taste completely different. Or I wouldn't say it tastes completely different, but it'll taste different because of where, like, what type of fermenter she's using compared to mine, or what temperature she fermented it at. I mean, you can clone a beer to the exact, everything down to a tenth of a degree, kind of Fahrenheit, and it may taste different just because of a different.
That's interesting. So what about when one brewery is brewing a beer for another brewery because, let's say, supply and demand, right? Like, say I have capacity and not necessarily the demand, so I can brew somebody else's recipe. Will it taste different?
Well, hopefully, right? The ultimate goal is that you can adjust the recipe to where it will be the same, right? I mean, that's the ultimate goal, is the repeatability. It may. I haven't been able – I've never, like, taken the two side by side in, like, a commercial setting to taste the difference. Like, I'd love to try a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale from the East Coast out in Richmond, mm-hmm. and compare it to a Sierra Nevada here that's brewed in Chico, and to see how it is. Because the ultimate goal is that you taste both and go, I don't know
right.
what the difference is.
Wow, that's
interesting. You've seen some beers change just from them, whenever like breweries get bought. And so we're not going to change anything. We're just going to put them on like a larger scale. Mm-hmm. And you're like, and the beer, it might not be worse, but it's definitely different.
Right.
You know, I mean, right. even when you look at, Kern River Citra, like you could tell when they moved to a larger scale for sure, and it's some people liked it, more or less, whatever, but it wasn't the same Citra mm-hmm. when they moved into the new facility.
You know, and I wonder how many people thought that was because Kyle went to Lengthwise or if it was actually them going to the bigger system.
I
there's some more timing, right?
I believe it's the new system, because they had that was the first one, I think, and so they're trying to fine tune it, right? I mean, you can see because their beers that they have on draft or small bottle releases on their 7-barrel system, you know you're like, man, that's an amazing beer, that's a Kern River beer through and through, whereas I think on that Citra one, they're still trying to figure out the nuances of that system because they've. They've gone from a 7-barrel fermenter, I believe, to what, like 60-barrel?
Jeez.
Yeah.
So it's a huge. It completely changes the way that the dry hopping utilization is, the way that the flavor and the whirlpool additions are going.
It's probably not a 1-for-1 scale, right?
I mean, no,
it's because
when
it's this many barrels, you don't go that many ounces of whatever, pounds or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard conflicting arguments from different brewers. So some people say it's not a straight 1-to-1 ratio in expanding to a larger system. And then I was listening to a podcast on the BN with Julian Strago from Beechwood. And he was like, it was pretty close to what I did. It was almost a straight scale up. I didn't need to adjust too much. There is some fine tuning, but then again, you have different the size and the shape of your fermenter will dictate the kind of pressures that are on the yeast. So, if you don't have a lot of hydrostatic pressure on the yeast in a 7-barrel compared to a 60, because it's got, it's really tall, so you're increasing the hydrostatic pressure.
Oh, right, right.
And the pressures exerted on the yeast are going to express different flavors.
I didn't know. I mean, of course, I didn't know that, right? I don't know shit, but that's interesting to me. I was like, wow, that I would have never thought that.
I didn't
that.
Even have to. He just made fun of himself. It was great.
No, because after all the talk you give about yeast and Tyson too, Tyson goes into detail about the yeast. I never thought about the pressure pushed on it from the amount of how many gallons on top of it. Because I'm thinking the more volume, the more yeast you have to have, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true as well. But then the pressures that are exerted on them will stress them out in varying levels and create different flavors and esters.
Can't you just add the yeast to the top? So it's...
Back to he doesn't know shit.
back to the face language. John just gave me the biggest thing. Like again, I know you're the neighborhood retard, but I'm gonna push you down. You can piss me off. I just wasted a half hour of my life explaining yeast.
Yeah, and so that, I mean, I think, I don't know how, I'd imagine personally that it would have a pretty substantial impact on that, because there's been experiments with, like, fermenting under pressure, and, like, even White Labs, one of the yeast manufacturers, I'm sure Sean knows who they are. You won't have a fucking clue.
I do, too, know who they are. You guys talk about them all the time.
Okay. But they've released, like, a lager yeast that does well under high pressure. So it's meant to have a certain amount of PSI on it when it's fermenting. So
here, let me ask you a question, then. This is going to – hopefully it doesn't come out dumb. So if you have a yeast that's designed for high pressure, high hydrostatic pressure on top of it, will it taste not as good if it doesn't have enough PSI pressure on it? Like, say you went and do your kettles, which is 15 gallons of water, or 15 gallons of wort versus a big actual fermenter at a professional brewer. Would that yeast taste different based on just the pressure on it?
That is a good question, and I honestly don't know the answer. I would imagine.
Motherfucker, here I am. Well, I finally made it.
John, do they have designer yeast like that? Do they have yeast that are?
That's all the accolades I'm getting.
They do. They have like I said, White Labs has one that is a high pressure lager yeast. It's meant to be fermented with a certain amount of pressure. We use CO2 like a professional brewery would use CO2, but you dial in that pressure to keep that yeast. Under like I mean like 10 like 5 to 10 psi maybe to keep that pressure on the yeast, and it's designed like it does well under there, right? It subdues if I remember right from the notes from White Labs, it'll help prevent any type of sulfur production, because the yeast has evolved to work well under that pressure. So I would imagine that if it's designed to work that way, if you're not using it for its designed application, it will taste different. It may not taste bad. You may get a little more sulfur kind of notes from it or flavor, but with a lager yeast, as long as you do a good diacetyl rest, bring it up to a warmer temperature, you should be pretty good. Have a nice clean lager, much like the Dortmunder that Tyler was drinking.
Could you talk about the diacetyl rest?
A diacetyl rest?
Yeah.
You want to take this? And...
I was talking to Kenny.
You can, go ahead. Go on, Kenny. Furiously type into Google diacetyl rest. Yeah, my
phone. So lager, you're gonna ferment very cold, right?
You're gonna ferment cold, so. And so with the colder temperatures, you get a little bit of a sulfur.
Kenny really did grab his phone.
I was like, it was really.
So you'll get a little bit of sulfur. Well, even ales will produce a certain amount of a sulfur, mm-hmm. and a little bit of diacetyl, right? With ale yeast, especially like an English ale yeast, they may produce a little more. But in lagers, you'll get it because it's a cooler temperature, it's a slower ferment, and so their yeast are operating at a slower metabolic rate. Like that, Kenny?
Whoa.
I like the metabolic rate.
Yeah. The only time I was going to go somewhere with it, and I'll just leave it alone. But anyway, so you'll get a little bit of a diacetyl, right, and some sulfur as well, because it doesn't come out of the solution because it's a little cooler, it's a cooler temperature, and the yeast won't reabsorb it. So when you're getting towards the end of fermentation, what you'll want to do is bring that yeast up. Bring the fermentation. He's trying to take a picture.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
We'll wait till Ian gets back here. I was trying to get a picture of all of us on there. Like,
what was that yeast I brought you down from Portland where you did the mosaic with?
That was a
they recommended.
That was like a Conan clone or Barbarian. They call it the Barbarian
clone, yeah.
But it was a heady top. Apparently, it was a yeast isolated from the heady topper double IPA.
Yeah, I remember
the Alchemist. I gotta go to check out the beer, man.
So, Tyler, do you do any home brewing?
No, I've brewed a little bit with him, but most of it is drink beer and watch him brew.
Yeah, same as me.
I know Skinny earlier said, what are we brewing?
Yeah.
What are we brewing?
Hey, what are we brewing here, John? That looks heavy. Yeah. What are we lifting?
Yeah. What are we brewing? And sorry, you have to do the cleanup on your own.
Oh, you're going to pull a Troy on me, too? I thought it was just him.
I was just texting Troy, too, and I was thinking, that's what reminded me of Troy, because Troy's notorious for jamming when it's time for cleanup.
Why do you think I don't invite Troy over? Fuck Troy.
Fuck Troy.
And we're talking about Troy from Tap Bakersfield.
Yes. Yeah, he loves Brew Day, which is code for I want to come over and drink your beer.
And then leave. Yeah, at least Tyler will help clean up. He may not do a great job, but I mean, he gets an A for effort.
That's the trick, though. You do a shitty job where you go, you know, man, never mind. I'll just do it myself.
Shit. Yeah, you must already know Tyler.
Dude, it's fine. You don't need to. Don't do that. Just sit down, have a beer.
Yeah.
Oh, if you insist.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
It's like having sex with my wife. She's like, never mind. I got it. I take care of myself.
Good job, buddy. Just go lay down over there.
Just sit over there and watch.
Go put a gold star up on the wall.
Yeah.
And effort.
Yeah.
Good try.
Go sit
good
down. Try.
Good try.
I got it from here. Oh shit!
Yeah. So what are we doing now? What are we looking at?
We're almost at pre-boil volume. So it's almost time to start the boil.
And then we sit there for 60 minutes.
90
minutes. 90 yeah. minute boil.
This is a lot of Pilsner malt. So there's been like Brewlosophy and stuff. I've done tests where they've done a 60 minute boil to a 90 minute boil. The reason being is because I use a lot of Pilsner malt in this. And the general rule of thumb was that you boil Pilsner malt for 90 minutes because you get... Hold on.
Yeah, stand by. I had to shut the motor off real quick. Cause,
good job.
Yeah.
Good save.
I got it.
So full of shit, Kenny.
Don't edit that.
Can you just move that hose over? There you go. Make sure it goes in that bucket, Kenny.
Got it. Thank you.
Well, that was right on
point. John's not doing shit. Can't get him out of the chair.
John, put your phone down and help out. Jesus Christ.
This is your brew day, isn't it? You got to suffer yourself.
So,
just to work. All of you.
So, can you explain what just happened? Because you jumped out of that seat pretty fast.
So, the...
You jumped out of that seat as fast as Joey when he sees a black chick in the elevator.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that joke, but okay. So I turned off my sparge water from my hot liquor tank because I'd already reached the amount of liquid that I had used. And so my mash tun had finally run dry. You can hear it in the change of tone from the pump, and the pumps aren't designed to run dry. You can kind of burn
them. Cavitate them.
Yeah. So
the fluid is their cooling medium?
Yeah. So as soon as I heard that, that's why I jumped out real quick to turn off the pump. Oh, my dog's going to... He's checking you out.
Yep. Hi, Clyde. Hi, Clyde.
Yeah, Clyde, you can bite him. That's okay.
It's fine.
Sorry, we got law enforcement in the neighborhood. I'll just tell them that you look kind of shady, and my dog didn't trust you and bit you.
He's got a front yard, a backyard, a house, and a garage, and he wants to get underneath this little podcast table right between my legs and snip my one nut.
Does that count as a dick joke?
Because it counts as a dick joke? It's a uniball joke.
Genitalia jokes count.
Yeah, just in general, I think we can count that one. What are we up to? I mean, off air, I think you had like, what, 15?
Yeah, I haven't really had a good one yet. No,
I agree.
He's trying to incorporate them back in.
I'm trying to get there.
Yeah, so now it's beer. So now we've reached our pre-boil volume. We pretty much hit it spot on to what I was expecting through my brewing software. So now it's time to heat up the wort and then
start the 90 minutes. And you're going to add those hops for bittering, and then that's it,
yeah,
right?
That's
no more hops after that?
I've done it in the past with the same beer, where I've done a 60 minute, a 30 minute, and a like a whirlpool or an end. This one I kind of just want to. I want to see what that malt does, because I've changed that malt bill. Jesus Christ, Clyde. The dog keeps bumping into the table.
Yeah, he does. I don't have a problem with that, but I've spilled so much beer on this mixer that I'm just going to hold my beer.
Oh, okay. So I want to see what the malt kind of flavor and aroma does. I don't want to hide it behind some of the hops. So I'm trying to change it up. I'm still trying to dial in kind of what I want for an ideal Kolsch kind of recipe. I know Tyler's had... You've had almost all of them.
Yeah, it's just 7 or 8.
No, this is like 14.
Oh, shit. Yep.
Okay. And I gotta say, I've never been a Kolsch fan until I've had yours. And you know, of course, craft beer is a little different, especially garage brewed beer. It gets pretty fine tuned and flavorful. Mm-hmm. But I'm starting to appreciate what I call the, I don't know, I want to say higher level, but we all know that when it comes to the dark beers and the IPAs. What do you say, Johnny? It gives you something to hide behind. So here,
they can. You can hide a lot of off flavor. Well, and that's not a knock on anyone. I hope no one takes it that way. But it's just you can hide some flavors and maybe some off flavors or something behind, like a lot of hops or a lot of adjuncts in your beer. That's why I was kind of worried. I was kind of curious and a challenge for any home brewer is to kind of make a lager. Because there isn't anything to hide it behind, right? I mean, you have to have any type of off flavors you're going to detect, because there isn't like a ton of nose, a ton of aroma, not a ton of flavor in terms of hops and stuff. So any type of like maybe diacetyl or DMS or acetaldehyde, you can all get. So
acetaldehyde for sure.
Right. Green apple. Yep. Green apple flavor. So that was like on my Kolsch.
Yeah, me and Tyler. Yeah.
I was about to say acetaldehyde, but you said it first. So
let's go back to the metabolic stuff. Yeah. Something I understand.
You gotta talk my language.
I was like, when you see a fat chick, like, woo, she got a lot of metabolic. Like, all right, so I tell you what. So we're going to get to the pre-boil. We're going to do some... Let's go ahead and wrap this one up this week, and we'll come back next week when we get into the 90-minute boil.
I'll still be brewing next week.
We'll still
a long boil.
Hey, can we hold off right here for a week and then start the boil on next Saturday?
No problem. Just like how you wanted to turn up halfway through the brew day.
Oh, I thought we were gonna let's edit that part too. It's my podcast. He's talking a lot of shit. All right, so
our podcast.
That's right. This is our menage a quack cast.
So, quack.
Quack, quack. God damn. Here we go. Fucking train wreck. So the next one's going to be a lot better. So, all right. So, can I'm Not Kevin podcast. Can you come back next week?
Yes.
Or be like Joey. No, I'm working next week. Like, fucking Joey, I'm just going to hit pause and I'm going to hit record in like 5 minutes. So, okay, Tyler, can you come back next week?
Yeah, I'll be here.
We'll still be cleaning up. All right, everybody, enjoy.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe and rate the podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Twitter @I'm Not Kevin Pod.